Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Today's Issue is the name of this program here on American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening. My panel is assembled, the three of us here in Tupelo, and then one panelist is in Kansas City. Let's just welcome the Kansas City panelists first, and that would be Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. I guess we make up a panel, although that sounds like we don't know each other.
Yeah, but we all know each other real well.
We're just friends.
That's right. We're just hanging out.
Hanging out together. Dr. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Walker Wildman is with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Great to be here.
Fred is news director for American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. And Walker keeps us going on the internet. Walker, how can folks engage with the show on the web today?
Yeah, a couple ways to do that. First way is on Facebook. You can watch the show on Facebook. Catch us in studio here. The only one you'll be missing out on is Dr. Ray Pritchard.
We don't have a camera for Ray yet.
But
that's
Ray,
that's a blessing for everybody.
Hey, in future months, Ray sometimes makes his way down to our studios here for various meetings and things. He's on our board here. So maybe you'll see Ray in the future. You can also watch us on YouTube, Today's Issues on YouTube. And, of course, you can always download the American Family Radio mobile device app and listen anywhere, so long as you have an internet connection.
Well, and Walker, I want to point out to people who watch live the Tupelo feed, they can comment on how you guys are dressed. Like, you're wearing this fancy, got something like a vest or something on today? Vest jacket? Looking good, guys. Looking good.
Mm-hmm. I've got my, what kind of shirt am I wearing over here, Walker?
Magellan.
I got my Magellan. I thought that was
Isn't he the guy that sailed around the world?
Yeah.
Maybe that's who it's named after.
Yeah, Magellan shirt. It's a Magellan shirt. But
it looks very nice. Very
thank
nice.
You very much. And Fred's got, Chaps.
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 Oh,
yeah.
Jazzy.
Yeah.
Jazzy. And I'm wearing a T-shirt, but nobody can see
it. Lucky you.
You already been out riding your bike today?
No, but I'm going this afternoon. It's bright and sunny here in Kansas City. Perfect bike riding weather.
Well, a lot to talk about today on the program. Jan Markell will be coming along to visit with us from the Twin Cities. That's at the bottom of the hour. And Frank Gaffney will also be on this, president of the Center for Security Policy, and has his own talk show here now on American Family Radio. Frank will be with us at 10:45. Fred, what's the first story today for us?
You know, I think Republicans have discovered they have a great asset heading into this fall's elections.
Okay.
And I think their greatest asset is turning out to be left-wing Democrats who love to talk. We've talked about young Ms. Cordes, who is probably going to take a seat for the Democrats in New York. She just keeps out there. I think she's trying to move to the left of Bernie Sanders, the way she talks.
Well, she's wanting to go to the left of the Castros.
Oh yeah. It's free stuff for everyone.
Right.
And she even admits sometimes she doesn't know what she's talking about, but she talks about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that first interview. Sure. But yesterday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo probably did join that club.
Mm-hmm.
He was at a signing ceremony, and he was making some reference to President Trump's, I guess, theme, Make America Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you listen to what the governor had to say, which left people in his own audience, a lot of Democrats, gasping as to what he said. So let's play cut one.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged. We will reach greatness when discrimination and stereotyping against women, 51% of our population, is gone.
Okay. First off, America
what kind
was
of crowd, what never, kind of crowd, what was the nature of the crowd he was speaking to? You know, because they didn't go wild.
Yeah. No, it was a signing ceremony. Normally, it would be people there who you know are going to cheer whatever you're doing, but they didn't know what to do when the governor of New York, Democrat Andrew Cuomo, said America has never been that great.
That's what he said. How do you react to that, Ray?
You know, it's just. I guess we shouldn't be shocked anymore, right? We shouldn't be shocked at anything the Democrats said. This is so obviously, I mean, this is a veiled shot at President Trump. But America is and has been a great nation in terms of freedom, democracy, free enterprise, offering hope for the nations of the world. So no wonder you listen to that tape, Fred. And it's clear they don't know what to do. They didn't expect him to say that. But if he was hoping to get a big applause line, he did not get it from the crowd.
Well, and his PR people knew it because they've tried to dance them away from that, and that hasn't worked either.
Yeah, yeah. The metaphor, you know, if you're in a hole, quit digging.
Right.
You know, that Cuomo jumped into a hole when he said that yesterday, and then his press team kept digging. Because she sent out a statement, the press secretary sent out a statement and said, well, what he meant was that you know, we're not great, but we're going to get there. And I'm like, well, that doesn't even make sense. He said what he said, and he probably meant what he said, otherwise he wouldn't have said it. And if he did mean what he said, then he should totally take back the comment and apologize.
Okay, two things here about that. One is it represents Trump derangement syndrome.
Right.
Okay, that's one thing. That is to say that Governor Cuomo is going to say, what does Trump believe? Then I believe the opposite. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. That's one thing. So that represents Trump derangement syndrome. He's taking America great again and say, no, America's not great. Why do I say that? I'm putting words in his mouth now. Because President Trump said it was. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's number one. And number two is the political left in this country, this is what they believe.
Yes.
This really is what they believe. This is their worldview. That America. This is what President Obama represented. Remember when First Lady Michelle Obama said she's never been proud of America? Remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
Well, what these far lefties subscribe to is America is a racist country. America is a colonialist type nation. We dominate and abuse people in the world, take advantage of them so we steal resources and money and mistreat people. So they don't believe in the founding of our country as something that was positive. You see what I'm saying? They don't believe in the Constitution. They'd like to just revoke the Second Amendment altogether, among other things. So this is their. In fact, Governor Cuomo, a couple of years ago, he said that pro-life people are not welcome in the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Right. Yep.
So, I mean, this is how these people view the world politically and philosophically, if you will, if I can use that term. So, again, he's just whatever Trump's for, he's against. And number two is this is how these people, they really believe that America's not been ever been.
You know, in a way, Tim, I think the president's best, his best supporters coming from the left, because you get an Andrew Cuomo saying nonsense like this.
Right.
The people in the middle, I'm not talking about the diehard Trump supporter, people in the middle shake their heads and go,
I know.
That cannot possibly be right.
Right.
They're doing the president's work for him.
Yeah.
No wonder his approval rating is going up and not down.
Can you imagine that in a soundbite in an ad? Where if this guy wants to run for president.
And he does. He's talked about a guy who wants to run. Can I play that clip again? Because I think there's more to talk about, because he then defines what he regards when America will be great. Let's play that again.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness. when every American is fully engaged. We will reach greatness when discrimination and stereotyping against women, 51% of our population, is gone.
Well, I'd like to find out, what does he mean? We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
That's just nonsense.
What does that mean?
I don't think he knows what it means, if you were to ask him. And then the whole thing about discriminating against women. Well, let's give me an example, Mr. Cuomo. And what public official is saying, yeah, let's discriminate against women. That's a great idea. Who says that? Nobody does. That's all built on a faulty foundation, a false premise, and no one ever asks the question, can you expound upon that?
Yes.
And when they do ask the question, like they did the Cortez out of New York, the Marxist, she doesn't have an answer.
Right.
So,
well, there's another asset this morning for the Republican Party, and that is Hillary Clinton. Breaking news from Hillary Rodham Clinton. And it has to deal with an 11-year-old girl from Baltimore County, Maryland Public School District. Her name is Mariana Taylor. And she made some headlines the other day when she knelt during the declaration of the Pledge of Allegiance, the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance at her school. And she knelt. Now, here's the young lady speaking, and then I'll connect it to what Hillary Clinton had to say.
Hello, my name is Mariana Taylor, and I go to Catonsville Middle School. I decided to kneel for the school pledge, and when I did so, my teacher, she came up to me, and she told me that, well, she basically implied I was disrespecting the country. She, like, legally, this is not in her rights as a teacher to speak to a student like this. I kneel because of the sexism and racism and a lot of wrong things going on in the country.
How old is this girl?
11 years old.
And she's kneeling. You're telling me they're having the Pledge of Allegiance and she's taking a knee?
She's taking a knee.
In class? Brother.
In class.
Because of, she racism. Said racism and sexism?
And sexism.
What, yeah. What other isms is she?
She kind of said all the other stuff.
I quit listening after the first ism.
She did not elaborate.
But here's the kicker. Hillary Rodham Clinton, Facebook, Twitter, the app, when she heard this, she congratulated this young lady.
She took a knee with her?
Yeah. Verbally speaking, she congratulated this young lady.
I don't know if Hillary Clinton could get back up, though. If she,
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. That was so easy. I probably should apologize for that, but I don't know. What to apologize for exactly? When
just an observation.
Yeah, it's an observation.
But it's disturbing, this young lady, because she's obviously been the victim of propaganda, sexism, racism. Right. You know, 11 years old. Where did she get that? But then Hillary Rodham Clinton, who wanted to be president of the United States, is applauding this young lady. Right on. Good for you.
Yeah, that's not a winning issue either. You know, these people, these leftists, if this young lady, a 7-year-old young lady, is going to take a knee for the Pledge of Allegiance, is that what she did again?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For racism and sexism, she's going to be taking a knee for the rest of her life. As I mentioned before, when you have 330+ million people, whatever, living in a country, there's going to be news reports every day of something you consider to be sexist or racist,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Every day, probably multiple ones from somewhere around the country, you're going to find something to object to. So just say, I'm taking a knee for life, you know, against America. That's basically what they're doing. Anyway. So Hillary Clinton maybe thinks this is, she's saying, way to go, young lady. You take that knee against the country, because we are sexist and racist. And
exercising.
Even though we had 8 years of my husband, 8 years of Barack Obama, we are still a racist, sexist country, right?
Yeah. But the other thing that young lady said, the teacher had no right to come up to her.
Yeah,
and
that was
and
illegal.
The teacher had no right,
right.
to come
illegal.
Up and express
right.
her opinion about what this little girl was doing.
Yeah, and the media wouldn't dare ask the 11-year-old. So can you expound or give us an example of sexism that you've experienced?
Right.
She wouldn't have an answer.
No, she'd have the same answer as Cordes said, you know, when she was asked about the Palestinian situation.
Well, I'm no expert on this.
I'm no expert on that. Right. I'm just, you know, I'm just, I'm just a puppet.
Anyway, Hillary Clinton, do you think she's going to run again?
Well, is she going to run again? She'd have to get the nomination first.
How old is she? She's over 70.
I think she wants to run again, if you're asking that question. I think she wants to. But I think the Democratic Party would not let that happen.
I don't know. The Clinton machine is...
Depends on if they rig it or not, like they usually do. If they rig the system, it doesn't matter what the naysayers have.
I would tend to agree with you, Fred, but she's that Clinton... They've been around. The Clinton machine's been around a long time. They've got a lot of allies, a lot of friends in the Democrat Party, and they, if they feel like she could beat him, President Trump, I don't know. They don't have a long bench out there.
Okay,
wait a minute. Now Joe Biden's there.
Okay, I was going to say Joe Biden, right?
They told him not to fly anywhere. He's getting too old.
Man,
you see that?
I did see that. So who do they have? Elizabeth Warren? I mean, Trump.
They have some that are younger, like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, but they're all
far left.
So
they're so far left, they make Bill Clinton look like a conservative.
Yes, right.
Make Hillary look conservative.
That's right.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know who they're going to put up to run. It may be that pornography attorney. He's up
Avenatti,
there. He's up there in Iowa trying to get some traction.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Brother. Oh, brother.
Well, maybe he would be the VP for Hillary. And they,
hey, let Nancy have the, Nancy, how about Nancy Pelosi?
The far-left women's vote and also the pornography lawyer vote. Would that be enough to overcome
Trump? That's a huge demographic,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying. Would that be enough to overcome Trump?
Wow.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
President Trump yesterday revoking the security clearance of former CIA director John Brennan. And he's not happy.
Yeah, he's...
Sarah Sanders made the announcement yesterday during the daily press briefing. Let's hear the announcement and let's hear a bit of reaction from the former CIA director John Brennan.
I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. First, at this point in my administration, any benefits that senior officials might glean from consultations with Mr. Brennan are now outweighed by the risks posed by his erratic conduct and behavior. Second, that conduct and behavior has tested and far exceeded the limits of any professional courtesy that may have been due to him.
I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration. And revoking my security clearances is his way of trying to get back at me.
So that was Sarah Huckabee Sanders reading a statement from the president yesterday, just to clarify.
I've never noticed an ounce of vindictiveness in President Trump. Have you got? Is this something I'm blind to? You guys,
he does from New York. He just does what New Yorkers do.
It was his way of saying you're fired yesterday.
Punch back twice as hard.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, John Brennan. I mean, he's the former director of the CIA, right?
That's right.
And as I understand it, this is a just a privilege. For former people in the administration.
A courtesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't be surprised the way that John Brennan, and is basically, I don't know, I can't give you an exact quote here, but he's basically called President Trump a traitor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has.
Oh, he has?
Right.
That's a quote, treasonous.
Mm-hmm. So, uh-huh. why would you even want to have security clearance for intelligence for an administration you think is... Treasonous,
yeah.
So,
yeah, and the what's interesting is Senator, I watched a clip this morning, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut called this, you know, illegal and abuse of power, on and on. But that's not true.
No.
You may not like the fact that he did it, and you can say he shouldn't have done this, but to call things unconstitutional and illegal that are clearly within the purview of the president, that's literally lying on national television, and nobody questions.
Yeah, they know that. They know what they're doing.
Well, Well, Brennan was all part of the intelligence community, and the president believes this, and I think there's ample evidence to back at least some of the president's claims on this, is that the intelligence community in this country, whether it was the FBI, James Comey, John Brennan, others, were in collusion to stop Donald Trump from being elected. And if that didn't work, then they were going to cook something up and all agree on this to make his life miserable and make sure he only served one term. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think President
abuse
Trump,
of power. This was not abuse of power.
It was a use of power.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So
I mean, those people, and there are others with a similar kind of access. This might not be the last person this happens to. It's, look, President Trump could do this, but President Obama had exactly the same prerogative, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's not used all that often, but this is hardball. Yeah. I mean, Brennan was so outspoken against the president. Mm-hmm. How could he be surprised that this happened?
Yeah,
absolutely not.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Is it true that the president's approval rating is at 50%?
It is true. It is true. It's amazing. And here's the thing. This is
by Rasmussen, right?
Rasmussen is saying that, and it's a pretty good polling apparatus that Rasmussen has. He's very honest in his polling. But here's the thing I think that's going on out there. Despite, and when Steve Jordahl comes in next hour, he's going to talk about the campaign that was launched today against the president by 300 newspapers, news outlets across the country, all writing editorials about what great patriots journalists are in this country. It's how unfair it is that the president is attacking them as fake news. So you've got this huge campaign going on against the president out there. But, you know, mainstream America, especially those, I guess I'm talking between New York and San Francisco, they see what the president is doing. They see the good economic news out there. They see him doing what he promised to do. He's one of those rare presidents. He's going down his list of the promises he made during the 2016 election campaign, all the way from, yes, we're going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on the Israel question. So many presidential candidates promised that. He did it. He promised to make America great again. He talked about the rotten trade deals this country has. He's doing something about that. He's trying his best to secure the border. He's going down that list, and the economy is cooking. The Democrats cannot say it's we're talking levels of productivity. We're talking level of sales. We're talking about salary increases for people that this country has not seen. Unemployment levels for Black Americans, for Hispanics at historic lows. You cannot argue with that. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be out on the campaign trail. He's been out a lot lately. He's going to be out on the campaign trail nonstop over the next 2 months, telling people what is going on. You see the crowds that he's getting wherever he goes? It's just like 2016. The American people know what's going on, and the Democratic Party does not have a message for this fall.
Yeah.
They don't.
I'm surprised. I mentioned this before. I know that the power of the liberal mainstream media is not what it once was when they completely dominated the information that got out to the American people. Today we have a lot of places to get your news and information, although the mainstream media, still carry a lot of clout. But they beat President Trump up day and night, 24/7, as do a lot of these left-wing outfits across the internet and so forth and so on. It's surprising to me that he has been able to weather that and maintain a 50% approval rating, job approval rating, despite being, beat up day and night and day. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, the last 2 years, we've just had tremendous response, early response to the announcement that we're going to Israel on a Holy Land tour. We're going March of this year. We go March of every year. Last year, we filled up like early fall, and I expect us to fill up early fall this year as well. So if you're interested in this March 14th through the 22nd tour, and you'll be going with primarily supporters of AFA and AFR, just get the brochure and check it out. You can call us today at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure. If you simply want to go online, all the information is there. It's at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want to go in March, we're filling up, and we're filling up fast, so check it out, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There are lots of blowhards and bloviators in the radio business, but Charlie Butcher was one of the good guys. He was the morning show host at WOWO, Fort Wayne, Indiana, broadcasting from the world-famous WOWO fire escape for more than 3 decades, and I was honored to be a part of the last. When we started this commentary, Charlie made sure I became a daily fixture on his morning show, and we weighed in on everything from presidential politics to the medicinal qualities of sweet tea. Charlie died on Wednesday. He was just 61, left behind a wife and 3 children, but he also left behind thousands of friends, many he'd never met, but they knew his voice. They went to church with Charlie and drove to the grocery store with Charlie and got stuck in traffic with Charlie. He was their friend on the radio. And it's a mighty sad day on the world-famous WOWO fire escape. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on AFR. I'm Tim with Walker and Fred, and Ray is with us in Kansas City. Appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Ray, did you see where Aretha Franklin has passed away?
I just played a little bit for myself of her singing Chain of Fools. Man, she could sing, Tim. God gave her a set of pipes.
Well, she was known as the Queen of Soul. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't her biggest hit be Respect?
Let's see. The Chain of Fools.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Mm-hmm.
Ain't No Way, Chain of Fools. And you remember You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman? She was
good. That her?
Yeah, it was her. That, she did one version of it.
Yeah.
And Respect probably the song people know the most, I guess.
You said, Fred, she was from Memphis?
Yeah, I was just, before I came in the studio, got a chance to read a bit of her obituary. And it mentioned, I'm not sure, just born in Memphis and moved, or she spent a lot of time in Memphis.
Well, I think she died in Detroit.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Of course, that's the home of Motown. But it was ironic that today's the day Elvis died. So if you were saying.
Really?
That means something. I don't know what, but well, it means something,
if
right?
If she was from Memphis, Elvis.
Right. Yeah. You know, there you go.
Of course, wow. Elvis was born in Tupelo.
Uh-huh.
And,
right.
And then at age 10 or 11, moved to Memphis. But a lot of. A lot of history,
wow.
A lot of music came from
between those two. My
yeah,
gracious.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, Aretha Franklin, she hadn't been seen out in public in a while.
No, pancreatic cancer.
I think that what happened?
73, 74, I believe it is.
Well, she had 73 hit songs.
There you go. How many people have done
so
that?
So she lived to be, so anyway. Yeah. All right, you're listening. How did you say she was?
I think 73, 74 is what I read. Like I said, just briefly.
I would have thought she would have been older than that. Hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Frank Gaffney, from who's the president of the Center for Security Policy. I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be with us in just a few minutes. What are we going to talk to him about?
We're going to talk to him about this new threat that's being kind of uncovered, and it's the use of drones. The use of these drones that anyone can purchase and fly anywhere, just about, and how those might be used to threaten political leaders and others.
Okay. Well, that happened in, was it Venezuela?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That happened, they attacked.
Yeah, last week.
A couple of weeks ago.
All right, first of all, we are pleased to have with us Jan Markell. Jan joins us most Thursdays. She's the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries and has a weekend program called Understanding the Times, which airs on American Family Radio at 12:05 Central Time on American Family Radio on Sunday and 1 o'clock Central Time or 1:05 on Saturday here on American Family Radio. Jan has a loyal, devoted listening audience on American Family Radio, and she joins us now from the Twin Cities. Good morning, Jan.
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
You're a fan of Aretha Franklin at all?
I can't say I'm a fan of that style of music. They did say she was 76 years old. I think you were debating her age.
Mm. Yes, we were.
Not a fan of that kind of music. I guess she died on the same date Elvis Presley died. Mm-hmm. Some years earlier, of course.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fred, what's your question for Jan this week?
Well, the question is, and this is a story that came in overnight from Sacramento, California. Authorities there have arrested 45-year-old Omar Abdesattar Amin from Iraq. And a court in Iraq back in May of this year found him to have been involved in ISIS. He was a member of the terrorist group ISIS and involved in the killing of a police officer in Roha, Iraq. But you say, okay, what's he doing in California? Well, he came to this country in 2014 when President Barack Obama was president of the United States under a refugee program. This guy apparently went to Turkey in 2012, got out of Iraq, went to Turkey in 2012, began applying to the U.S. for refugee status by claiming to be a victim of terrorism. I'm reading here from an AP mm-hmm. story that's on One News Now. And he was granted refugee status in June 2014, but returned to Iraq to commit the slaying before traveling to the United States in November 2014. Now, we've talked about the refugee program that was in place under President Barack Obama, Jan, and a lot of people have described it as no screening at all. I mean, there was a lottery from certain countries, and basically if the person's name was picked out of the box, they got to come to this country, basically no questions asked. Here's another example of what happens when there isn't proper vetting in place.
Oh, this vetting is so important, gentlemen. I'm just so thankful that we currently have an administration, and that I think is an important key word, is an administration that is concerned about all these issues, from the vice president to the various intelligence, the heads. Now we have John Bolton. Of course, that's more national security, but I mean, I've been saying on air for a long time that who's running a country, and it's not just a president, it's an entire administration, and we have a very refreshing one. And not only that, so many of them are true Christians in the West Wing, filled with true believers. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives some of these people extra discernment. I really do. I think so.
Great. You know, there's a similar story out of Germany this morning. It's interesting. There's been a lot of controversy in some of these European nations because of the EU regulations that basically has opened the door for so-called refugees from coming out of the Middle East. But the German people under pressure from their politicians and the German people in general. They wanted to deport this guy who worked for Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
But now a judge in Germany is telling the German people it's illegal to deport this guy. I think he's in Tunisia right now, but he worked for perhaps the world's best known terrorist, Osama bin Laden. The people cottoned on to all of this. They wanted him out of their country. They deport him, and the judge is now saying, you don't have a right to deport this guy.
Well, Europe lost its mind when they lost God. I mean, they threw God out 60 years ago. But, you know, what I found interesting in light of what some of the things you're saying, Fred, is, you know, Google just named Angela Merkel the leader of the free world. That's Google's opinion of Angela Merkel. Merkel has destroyed her country. Clearly, she has no sound judgment, wisdom, or understanding, and certainly no discernment. And yet Google declared her leader of the free world when it's Donald Trump who destroyed the Iranian nuclear agreement. It wasn't a treaty, but agreement. I mean, this is an upside-down world. Black is white. Up is down. Good is evil. Evil is good. It's unbelievable. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well, I guess that's why you describe your show, Understanding the Times.
If they can be understood. They can't be outside of understanding the Bible.
Amen.
And then having the Bible reflect on our times, because then everything makes sense.
Amen.
This weekend, what are you going to be discussing with whom?
Part two with Michelle Bachmann. We're going to continue our discussion. Last weekend, we really looked at Ocasio-Cortez, the whole run to socialism in America. Michelle has outstanding insight into all of this. We'll continue it. Part two this weekend, and thank you for allowing me to tell your folks. We love AFR people. We really do.
And your conference?
Well, that is Saturday, September 29th, and we're live streaming it at no cost, olivetreeviews.org. A lot of churches are getting groups together around the country. September 29th, olivetreeviews.org. You go to my website, and it'll be there for anybody at no cost.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
Yes. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's amazing. I think she has between 4,000 and 5,000 people lined up to attend that conference. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interest in what Jan has to say each week.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with the Walker and Fred and Ray. Thank you for listening to AFR. If you're watching the show on Facebook or YouTube, we say hello to you. And appreciate you watching the program. Walker is also posting the stories that we're discussing here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio, AFR.net on the internet. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Next story, Fred.
Yeah, kind of interesting. There was a story from the Associated Press today. You remember we had the primaries on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Ellison, who was the first Muslim in Congress,
From Jan State of Minnesota, right?
Jan State of Minnesota. He decided he did not want to run again, but he did win the Democratic nomination on Tuesday night to become the next Attorney General of Minnesota. That's going to be one we're going to be watching. But he's now been replaced by a woman, a Somali-American, has won the Democratic nomination to run in that congressional district. And that makes two Muslim women who are probably, because it's a fairly safe Democratic seat there in Minnesota, there's another Islamic woman, I believe, in the Detroit area, Michigan, who is also going to run probably uncontested for the Democrats. So there's going to be two Islamic women who will likely be in Congress after the elections in November. And they have made no bones about it. They plan, they're dedicating their lives to attacking President Trump. And they've already started their campaign about how anti-Islamic he is. And, you know, what's really interesting, this Ilhan Omar, this woman, Somali-American in Minneapolis or Minnesota, she has basically said that if she was trying to get into this country right now, President Trump's ban against Muslims would prevent her from doing that. Now, that is simply not true. Remember,
there's no ban against Muslims.
There's no ban against Muslims. Mm-hmm. But there she is, beating that drum, which unfortunately we have federal judges in this country. Remember when those items before the court, they just said, we believe he's anti-Muslim. Therefore, we're going to not allow his ban that was in place, what, for six primarily Muslim countries? But what he wanted to do was better vetting of people who were applying to get into this country from terrorist-sponsoring nations. That's what it was. But this is all going to be part of the misinformation campaign that I think we're going to see over and over again from the Democratic Party.
All right. Well, you want to welcome our next guest?
Yes. Thank you, Fred, for that. You sound like you believe what you were saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope he does. He's reporting the news to us.
All right. Frank Gaffney is with us. Frank is with the Center for Security Policy, relatively new radio program here on AFR. Mm-hmm. Frank is I've always heard Frank in the morning at about 7:40 Central Time on Sandy's show, Sandy Rios in the morning. Frank has a commentary there. He still does and joins us now. Frank, good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys. It's great to be with you.
All right. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Can you tell the voices?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Hey, Frank, you know what? As much as I know about your work, I really don't know about your past and your professional history. Tell us about it.
Well, very quickly, I had the privileges at a very young age of working for some extraordinary national security leaders, Henry Scoop Jackson in the United States Senate, a Democrat, and John Tower, a Republican, in connection with their work on the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, did that for about 6-7 years, something like that, and then went to work for President Reagan back in the day as a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for nuclear forces and arms control policy in the heart of the Cold War era, and then for about 7 months acted as an Assistant Secretary of Defense for international security policy under President Reagan and Cap Weinberger, his Secretary of Defense. And ever since, more or less, I have been running an organization called the Center for Security Policy, as you mentioned, an advocacy organization for what my old bosses used to call peace through strength, which we think still needs to be practiced in a very dangerous world.
Now, you've talked about drones recently. Your concern there that drones might be the next wave of terrorist attacks, right?
Well, they can be a force for good, and they can be a force for not so good, I think. I was at a conference about a year ago where a senior Air Force general took great pride in showing the audience a project that the Air Force was sponsoring. And it was basically a bunch of kids in college doing races in, you know, empty warehouses and other vacant buildings and the like, of these so-called unmanned aerial vehicles or drones, and they would do them at wicked fast speeds, and they'd be, you know, going over obstacles and all over the place, often in the dark. I mean, it was an immensely impressive thing until you realized, you know, those kinds of capabilities, some of which are available at your, you know, local Best Buy, are in the hands of enemies of this country, almost certainly going to be used for malevolent purposes. So it's a challenge. We've been using drones, or UAVs as they're called, for quite some time. Again, as I say, I think as a force of good in the world. But we saw a very bad guy, Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, very nearly taken out by a pair of drones a couple of weekends ago. And that brings home, you know, they can be used for assassinations as well as reconnaissance and other offensive purposes, perhaps by not so good people, too.
Well, Frank, say something more about what happened in Venezuela. I mean, that hit the news, but so much else is happening here in the U.S. that it sunk pretty quickly. Who was behind that drone attack, and how close did they actually come to taking Maduro out?
Good questions, and I'm not sure I know the answer, honestly. Maduro, of course, is a guy who has, along with Hugo Chavez, who handpicked him as his successor as he was dying of cancer, the two of them basically have destroyed that country. It was one of the world's wealthiest, but certainly inherently wealthy, because it has the world's largest oil reserves, amazingly enough. But applying old-fashioned communist socialist doctrine and economic models, they've basically bankrupted the place. So there are a lot of people who don't like Nicolas Maduro and would like to see him gone. He has surrounded himself by Cuban bodyguards, probably is getting help from China and maybe Iran or Russia as well, as all of them are sort of trying to help prop him up. But the question is, who was using the jammers that apparently interfered with the guidance control mechanisms of those UAVs? They had a small amount of explosives on them, and they were detonated, but I think one crashed as a result of jamming, apparently. The other was simply blocked from getting close enough to Maduro to do him any harm. But it shook him up, and it scared an awful lot of other people, and I think a number of them were injured as well.
But do you think we could see similar things happening? Well, obviously, other places around the world, but could you see something like that happening at a political event on either side of the aisle? Could that happen here in the U.S., or what's to stop it from happening?
Well, I think there is very little to stop it in most circumstances. I honestly don't know whether the president of the United States or the vice president, you know, have a similar kind of sort of bodyguard of, you know, electronic devices to protect against these sorts of devices. I know that the military is very concerned about these things and is working very hard at trying to stop them. You know, a few years back, they were obsessing about this phenomenon of improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, which were particularly in places like Afghanistan and Iraq being used with devastating effect against our troops. So there was a crash program started under Donald Rumsfeld when he was Secretary of Defense to work that problem. Well, that organization has now been tasked with also working this counter aerial vehicle problem. And I think they're probably working on it pretty hard, because the short answer is, if you think of your average stadium full of people, whether it's a political event or a sporting event or something else, could those things be operated against our people? You bet they could. I think we're on borrowed time about that, frankly.
Hey, Frank, this is Walker Wildman. Tell folks how they can catch your show, what time it airs on American Family Radio.
Well, let me just say how grateful I am, Tim, to you and your team for having us on your air. It airs at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so other hours, of course, elsewhere across the country. Every weeknight for an hour, we call it an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. You know, my old boss Ronald Reagan used to say every generation faces an existential threat to freedom, and our generation is having, you know, its moment of having to deal with those threats as well. And we talk about them each night with some of the best people in the country, and for that matter, elsewhere around the world as well, to help us all understand not only the challenges that we're facing, but our personal responsibilities for doing something to help with them and how.
Frank, it's Fred Jackson here. What do you see as the greatest threat to American security right now? We talk a lot about Islamic terrorism. We have this guy who was arrested by the FBI last night in Sacramento, apparently wanted in Iraq for, he was a member of ISIS for killing a police officer there, got into this country through the refugee program that Barack Obama had in place. Is it Islam, or are there other things on your radar?
Well, the reason we have a very full show every weeknight is there are a lot of them. I do worry about what I think of as really Sharia supremacism. And Sharia, of course, is the term that its adherents use to describe a doctrine that's Islamic in character, but it's meant to guide every aspect of the faithful Muslim's life. And fundamentally, reduced to its essence, it's about power. It's got a patina of religiosity to it, but it's basically about power. Who's going to run the world? And the idea is that they'll use jihad of various kinds to impose it on all of us. The violent kind that this character is just an example of is particularly worrying, of course, but several others worry me, too. Migration or population jihad, if you will, demographic jihad, simply overtaking the native population with Sharia-adherent Muslims. Also, financial jihad, ways of funding all of this, including through something called zakat or charitable contributions, taxes really, by the faithful. And then there's this other piece called civilization jihad that the Muslim Brotherhood practices. It's a kind of subversion. That's very worrying as well. And mostly it's of concern because I think very few of us are even aware they're at up to that and how sinister it actually is. There is one other thing that I just have to mention because I think it ought to be uppermost on all of our minds. It's something we can do something about, but we're not at the moment, and that is the vulnerability of something without which, frankly, literally, most of us will not survive, and that is electricity. And our electric grid, which supplies it amazingly reliably most of the time, except for the odd storm, is exceedingly vulnerable, as I think you all know, to various kinds of disruption, enemy action, even Mother Nature, in the form of solar storms. And if we don't make it more resilient, I think it's just a matter of time. It's like those drones. It's just a matter of time until somebody who knows about our vulnerability, who knows how dependent we are on electricity, will take steps to try to deny it to us over a protracted period. And you know, you could, according to one commission report done for the Congress on this, see 90%, 90% of the American people lose their lives in the course of a year without power. So this has to be addressed, too.
So, Frank, your show airs at 10:05 Central Time on American Family Radio tonight and 11 o'clock. Now, am I going to have to take anxiety medication?
Yes.
After listening to you? I mean, how am I supposed to sleep?
The way you're supposed to sleep is to come into the show very tired.
Okay. I thought maybe you need some, some... really good music, some soft, easy listening music to end the show with every night.
I'll take this under advisement, sir.
Yes, okay. All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. And thanks. We look forward to continued good partnership between AFR and your organization. Thank you.
Thank you. We're so appreciative. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Mm.
That's Frank Gaffney, Center for Security Policy.
Bright guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He really has his hand on the pulse of things.
Hey, let me just say, if you heard what he said about the drones, that's scary to death. I was just looking on Amazon while he was talking. You can buy a drone for $25.
Yeah.
And you can buy a really good one for a couple of hundred. Boy, it's not just the president. I mean, this is kind of sci-fi Hollywood stuff, used to be in movies, and now it's just out there. I think what happened in Venezuela, we're going to see this happening because crazy people get a hold of this stuff.
And not only the drone threat, you have these gliders.
Yes.
And we saw President Trump was in New Jersey at his golf course a month ago, and the guy flew in on a glider right by the front door. President Trump's walking out the front door, and he's flying over his head.
I missed that. Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious. So I don't know how that happens.
Talk you mean like a hand glider? Or
no, a man sitting in a...
Glider plane.
Gliding over President Trump, looking down at him.
He wasn't shot down?
No.
Wow.
Oh, man. All right. Well, other than that...
How are we going to sleep tonight?
I know.
Glad we're inside.
Other than that, it's a pretty safe world out there, folks.
That's right.
Take advantage of it. Fred, thank you for your contributions. We shall be back with more of today's issues in about 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.